Hello and welcome to the Vet Blast podcast. I am your host, Dr. Adam Christman, Chief Veterinary Officer here at Fetch DVM 360.
Welcome back to the Vet Blast podcast. And I'll tell you this, Dr. Emily Singler, I don't know how moms, veterinarians, like it sounds like it should be a superhero altogether wrapped in one. So we're going to be talking about that as well as relief veterinary medicine with our good friend, Dr. Emily Singler. How are you, my friend?
I'm doing well. Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, well, I'm so glad that we're having you on the podcast and you've done such quite a few accomplishments that I'm really excited for you to share with our listeners too. So to the listeners, a little bit about our friend Emily. She is a small animal veterinarian for 16 years and a mom for 15. She is a graduate from Penn State University and the University of Pennsylvania School of Veterinary Medicine and a transplanted Floridian. She's worked in shelter medicine, private practice, and now does relief work with indie vets and writes in her spare time. She has strong interest in public health, preventive medicine, and the human-animal bond. She is passionate in supporting veterinary professionals who are or will be parents to two-legged. I have to say that, right? So to say two-legged versus four-legged. She is both fear-free and human-animal bond certified, and she also speaks Spanish. My goodness. When she's not working or chasing after her four kids, three pets, and one husband, she enjoys horseback riding, sewing, running, collecting all things llama and alpaca, and eating chocolate. She is also writing her first book, and I can't wait for her to talk about her new blog that she's got called Vet Med Baby. So let's get into it. So, you know, private practice is amazing, as we all know, too. And what I love about veterinary medicine, too, Emily, is there's so many different avenues to go into. So what made you decide to go from the private practice role to more of a relief work setting?
So I'd been in the same private practice for about 14 years and working that whole time, you know, as a mom, which has a lot of challenges trying to do both. And I was feeling pretty burned out. I was feeling like I needed a change. I wanted to have a little more flexibility and freedom to kind of control my schedule in terms of when I worked and when I didn't work. I wanted to kind of see what else was out there too, see how medicine was practiced in some other clinics because I'd been in the same place for so long. And I, you know, started finding out about indie vets. I really like the model of being managed by veterinarians. I was in a situation where we, you know, a lot of decisions were being made by non-veterinarians. And I really wanted to kind of get back into a situation where we were working and being managed by veterinarians and concentrating on awesome, good quality care and still having some flexibility so I could kind of meet my family's needs.
Yeah, I can imagine. So, you know, you're a mom to four amazing kids, a wife. I mean, there's multiple hats that you wear. So I'm sure that it gives you a little bit more flexibility now than you did beforehand, right?
Yeah, definitely.
The other thing that's interesting about relief work, you have a really cool snapshot about like culture in different practices because they all have their own right culture. So I'm sure that's one reason or one of the differences that relief work has versus just being at one practice. What are some others?
Yeah, so culture is definitely a big one. I mean, you kind of never know unless you've been there before kind of what you're walking into. So you're in a different building, different, you know, practice software, different coworkers. You know, all that kind of stuff changes. You do get to set your own schedule. So I'd been working every other Saturday for like 14 years. And I just was like, you know what? I'm not missing any more baseball games. I'm not going to work Saturdays anymore unless I decide to, unless I feel like there's a shift I really want to take or, you know, we need the extra income or something like that. So that was just huge for me and my family to say, I'm going to make this decision. I don't have to ask anybody else if it's okay. So having that level of control was a huge win for us and for me. And the other thing is you go into a hospital and they're usually short-staffed or someone's on vacation or whatever the case may be, someone's on maternity leave. And so you're helping them out. So usually when you come in, they're so happy to have you there. You're just making this huge improvement in their workflow, helping them to not be so overwhelmed, helping to get more pets in the door. So they're usually really happy to have you there. you don't have to do as much follow-up if you don't want to, because you may not be back. So you may not be the one kind of managing these really chronic diabetes cases or whatever the case may be. Although some relief vets have kind of more permanent situations where they do go back to the same place. But if that's not what you want, you don't have to do that. And if you go into a place and, you know, the quality of medicine is not good and, you know, the staff is toxic, you don't have to go back there, which is really nice.
Yeah. And, you know, I always considered it when I did relief work too, as like the Mary Poppins of vet med. Like you go in, sometimes you're like that vitamin for the culture. They just need somebody on the outside coming in to be your cheerleader. And look, they look forward to having you come in because they appreciate your hard work. We know it now more than ever that we're in such short supply. So it's got to feel so nice that you're making such an impact at multiple different locations, which has got to be nice.
Right. So I've also gotten to learn new, like, techniques. You know, I'd never seen someone put in a teat cannula for an ear hematoma, and you know, things that just the people I'd worked with in my little environment had never done. So I've gotten to really learn from the other people that I've worked with too, which has been great.
And the sound bites too, like the way somebody may explain Cushing's disease or diabetes or delivering bad news is kind of cool. You're like, oh, I would like the way you heard did that. I didn't think of it that way. So you get some really mentorship that way, right?
Yeah, I've definitely picked up some things like that. Even, you know, from the technical staff, I was at a cat only hospital and they were talking about using gabapentin before an exam. And the receptionist described it as your cat just having like a glass of red wine before coming in for their appointment. And I thought that's totally going to resonate with people without scaring them, because people think I don't want to drug my pet. And I thought, wow, that's such a kind of non-threatening way to explain it to an owner. So yeah, definitely picked up some things like that.
And I also watched how doctors are a little bit more efficient than I was in terms of like either writing up their files, doing the physical exams or diagnostics. And I learned how to be a little bit more efficient by seeing others that were more seasoned out in the field to be like, oh, okay, this is really cool that, you know, you might have your soaps kind of done in a different fashion. That way you're not at the end of the night writing up all of your files or whatever, you're not staying late. So there's so many different ways that you can learn from, you know, being in relief medicine.
Yeah, for sure. I've definitely gotten more efficient about doing my notes because I have to finish them by the end of the day. I don't have another opportunity to come back. And I think I'm more motivated because I don't really want to stay for hours after my shift. So I think I've definitely gotten a lot faster.
Do you find yourself too that you have to, which is not a bad problem at all, which is a good thing in vet med, but I've learned that I've had to over communicate because I wanted to make sure that you don't have to call me to verify like what that growth looked like or what was the reasoning why you ran like a PT, PTT or whatever. And so like, right, have you noticed that you had to write wrote clear? Yeah.
Yes, definitely. I write more in my record and I write more of an explanation because like you said, I'm not going to be there to explain it. So they've got to be able to get everything from the record. And that's something that Indie Vets really kind of emphasizes. So we have a medical officer, a chief medical officer, and an area medical director. And part of what they do is from time to time, they review our medical records with us just to make sure that we're including everything that we can so that anyone else could follow up on the case. And, you know, they kind of help us to know what's expected, like what we should have in it. So if anything, I think I kind of upped my game on my soap writing too.
Which we all use. I'm telling you. I want to change gears because you're a mom to four and you're working too. So what are some of the challenges that you have?
So yeah, there are quite a few that I've had over the years. I mean, so I have, you know, my oldest is 15 and my youngest just turned one. So I'm parenting all different stages of life. So, you know, I've got my teenager who calls me throughout the day and says, I don't know what to do about this. And, you know, have to answer her right away. And then the little ones who, you know, get sick at daycare, and then we've got to figure out what to do with them. So, you know, long days, obviously in clinical practice, it's not really feasible to work from home or say, oh, I'm going to start late today, or I'm not going to go in, I'll just work from home, that kind of thing. And, you know, I get really stressed out about having to call out. as I think about how many appointments are going to have to be canceled. You know, if my kids are sick and they have a fever and the daycare won't take them or they can't go to school, someone needs to stay with them. And I know that means that maybe appointments are getting canceled. Maybe a staff member is going to be told to go home and lose their hours, or it's all going to be heaped on someone else. So that's a big stressor for me personally. Missing out on field trips or concerts or activities or getting there late. I do a lot of getting there late or asking someone else to drive my kids to things. Staying late to finish records, you know, getting kids their dinner late, getting them to bed late, that kind of stuff. So, and then right now I'm still pumping for my 1-year-old. So I bring this, talk about Mary Poppins, I bring this gigantic tote bag with me everywhere with all my stuff and, you know, try to make sure that I have the time and that I'm hydrated enough and not stressed out enough that I can, you know, pump and be able to kind of provide that for my baby. So there's a lot, you know, make it work. I'm not always perfect by any means, but just kind of do the best that we can and try to give myself some grace.
Grace is a big thing now, more so than ever, my friend. I mean, we're living in such different times with pandemic. I mean, I'm sure you're so concerned about not giving your kids anything from when you're coming home from work and being at different practices and so forth. So, I mean, talk about extra layers of stress. I can only imagine what it must feel like for you to wear both of those hats during a pandemic like this. So I wanted to ask you this question because I heard somebody ask Bet Mom this question and it really resonated with me. Like, how has being a mother shaped the way you approach veterinary medicine?
I think that it's made me a lot more patient. I think it's made me a lot more empathetic and compassionate. I think that the people that I work with will tell you that I sometimes kind of fall in the habit of kind of mothering them at work. So
wait, do you bring food to them?
Sometimes I'm not the best about that, but more kind of like, you know, you've got one person trying to carry like a 70-pound dog. I'm like, you're going to hurt your back. You need to get help. I had a technician unfortunately get bitten last week and she's like, I'm fine. I'm like, no, you need to go wash your hand. You need to go clean it out really well. And I'm like, I'm sorry. Am I, you know, I'll be like, did you eat today? I swear I'm not trying to be your mother. Right. But I think it, you know, helps me to kind of think outside of myself and kind of think about what others need and helps me to be compassionate to my clients and my patients. I've definitely caught myself like bouncing and rocking a little dog or cat when I'm holding them, you know, as if they were my baby. And it just helps me kind of multitask because I'm used to just always being busy. I'm used to just always having like three things that need to be done at the same time. And that's kind of how veterinary medicine usually is. There's always something to be doing. So
I think
it's just helped prepare me.
Yeah, it does help prepare you. One of my friends, she's a mom and a vet. And she said, I don't know how it happened, but my reflexes just went up like tenfold because as a mom, you're like, catch things. So like, if you know, like you might get shanked by a cat, she's like, I'm 10 steps ahead of you because my son already tried to drop something or like a bowl of cereal on the floor and I caught it already. So like, you can't tend to be really good with your reflexes. And she also said, I'm sure you can relate to this too, because like to the mom that's coming in with her kid and the dog and, you know, they're either, you know, like you can empathize probably a lot more with what they're going through.
Oh yeah. And I have conversations with the kids. I mean, this is probably more pre-COVID, but you know, I let them listen to the dogs hard. I talk to them about them, you know, taking care of the pets. And a lot of times the older kids have a lot of good information about the care of the pet, sometimes more than the adult.
Yeah. So. I can imagine. And so what, you know, you mentioned that you work at Indie Vets too. So what do you like about them and specifically, and what do they offer to the veterinarians?
Yeah, so Indie Vets is like a staffing company. So I work for them instead of being an independent contractor. So area hospitals will sign up to partner with Indie Vets, and then Indie Vets has their own kind of shift calendar where I can go on and say, okay, Monday of this week, I want to work and I want to work these hours. And, you know, I'm going to work 3 days this week. And the next week I want to work at this hospital. And so I can kind of pick and choose where I want to go. And then they set everything up with the hospital. And I'm, you know, like a W-2 employee. So I don't have as much concern about, am I going to be able to make enough money? Do I have to go market all the hospitals to myself? Do I have to send out the bills and all that kind of stuff? So that's all kind of taken care of on the other end. And then I have the support of my area medical director and the chief medical officer and everyone else at IndyVet. So, and then we have like a big Microsoft Teams. We have all these different Microsoft Teams groups where we can talk about clinical cases. So a lot of times you'll be a solo doc doing relief. So you don't have someone else right there to say, hey, what do you think of these x-rays? Like, does that look like a foreign body or, you know, whatever the case may be. So we have our clinical channel where we can get feedback pretty close to real time. Usually there's pretty much always someone on there who will answer and say, this is how I manage my DKA cases, or yes, I think you should take this to surgery, or, you know, whatever the case may be. So we have that even if we're alone. You know, full benefits from working in another company, you know, full W-2 kind of full-time benefits, but then also things like reimbursement for mental health care or pet care or, you know, commuting. You can kind of just decide how you want to use some of that reimbursement. So it, you know, definitely feels like they're kind of looking out for us as whole people, apart from just kind of what we provide while we're at our shift. So. And like I said, we have PTO. We can kind of decide when we want to work, when we don't want to work, and just have a lot of flexibility. So I'm really glad that I found them.
It's a good group. Dr. Andrew Heller is over there too. That's leading part of the organization, right? And great friend, and just doing a lot of great things for the profession. So shout out to you, Dr. Heller. That one's for you. So wait a minute, Dr. Emily Singler, you can't leave without me asking you about, you have a book that's coming out. So I guess let's start there for a second. Tell me about this book.
So the book is still in the writing stages, so it'll be a little bit, but it's something that has been kind of on my heart and in my mind for years. And I finally decided to go for it. I'm writing the book that I wish I had had. Going throughout my pregnancies, I found out I was pregnant with my first child, my first few months out of vet school. So this is a book intended for veterinarians and other veterinary professionals and team members who are working through their pregnancies or planning to do that. I also hope it'll be helpful for, you know, managers and coworkers and others who want to help keep those people safe and healthy and happy during their pregnancies. Kind of the things you want to watch out for: radiation, anesthesia, infectious disease, that kind of thing. But then we're also going to talk about mental health. We're going to talk about parental leave and postpartum depression and anxiety, coming back to work, some of the struggles that you can face there, but, you know, addressing it all from kind of an uplifting and encouraging mindset that you definitely can do it. You just have to kind of decide what's important to you and that you're not alone. There are lots of people there doing it. And I just want to provide people kind of the resources that they need to get more information, kind of where to go further to ask more questions. So it's the book I wish that I had had as a reference. So yeah. I'm hoping that's what it'll be.
I think that'll inspire and help coach so many moms along the way in vet med. So it's great. So thank you for writing the book. You got to let me know when comes out too.
I will. I definitely will.
And lastly, so you're a blogger. Wait, everybody, listen to these titles too. So her name of her blog is called Vet Med Baby. I love it. So vetmedbaby.com is where you can check out her blog. And just like a couple of high level articles that she's got. She's got Being Human at Work, An Ode to the Pumping Mom, No, I'm Not Pregnant, Oh My Gosh, right? So is it ever okay?
I needed
okay
to write that, yeah.
Right? Thank you for writing that. I read that. It's a really good read too, by the way. So I want everybody to head on over there and listen to read some of these articles. The one that you have on rabies, Why You Should Care, is really good too. So what, anything else you got in the pipeline?
Those things are keeping me busy. You know, the blog kind of started out as, you know, a way for me to work on my writing and kind of discover what I wanted that to look like, but it's kind of taken on a new life, and I'm really enjoying it and planning on getting some more content out there and kind of learning more about how to use social media as part of that. I'm kind of old, so I still have a lot to learn about social media. All right. But
listen,
Right. Yep, the book, hopefully, you know, I'll have some progress on the book in the next several months. So I'll definitely keep you posted.
Excellent. So Dr. Emily Singler, where can we find you then on social media? Here we go. Do you have a social media account?
I have LinkedIn. You just under my name, Emily Singler, VMD. I also have a LinkedIn page for VetMed Baby, and I have a Facebook page for VetMed Baby, all with the same name, and vetmedbaby.com.
Excellent. Well, thank you so much for being on the show. I've learned so much already. I wrote some things down, and you are quite the inspiration to so many, my friends. So thank you for all you
do.
Thank
you. Thank you so much. I really appreciate it. It was so fun talking with you.
Yeah, thank you. My pleasure. You really are. I mean, to my listeners, I'm like chatting with her. She's a beacon of light for this profession. I mean, she wears multiple hats and she really is very passionate about it. And I can tell, I can see it on the way you're talking and everything in your articles. And we need a lot more Dr. Emily Singlers in this profession. So thank you for all you do.
Oh, thank you so much.
My pleasure. And thank you to our listeners. Please stay safe out there. Continue to take care of all those amazing animals and continue to stay awesome. We'll see you next week. Bye, everybody.
Thank you for listening to the Vet Blast podcast with me, Dr. Adam Christman. Tune in next time. Remember, take care of your animals and always stay awesome.